Well, the scoreboard said I lost today, but what the scoreboard doesn't say is what it is I have found.
Back to the Tennis Connected Studios for May 25th, 2019. I'm Nima Naderi alongside Parsa Sammy, and we're here this week to preview the French Open. Let's introduce our co-host for this week, Parsa. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. What's going on?
It's good, man. Just wrapped up a couple ITF events in the Caribbean and USVI. Miami this week, chilling for a few days, and then get back to Toronto and watch some French Open and get down to business again. So we have obviously the second Grand Slam of the season on deck, starts tomorrow. French Open, only major that has a Sunday start. Pretty much all the events in Europe do that. I guess it's, you know, really conducive towards the society, and everybody's out there having a good time on the weekends and they want to watch some tennis. So it really works in that model. You see it happening in Rome, Madrid, Monte Carlo, everywhere. So it's what they're going with throughout the entire basically clay court season. Now, Parsa, this has been a very interesting clay court season. It's been one in which we've had a lot of, you know, different winners. We haven't had Nadal dominating. Serena's been absent. We thought Andreescu was going to do something after Miami, but she didn't. And, you know, she hasn't even played. So, I mean, Osaka hasn't done much on the clay. She's the number one ranked player in the world. Djokovic has picked it up the last couple weeks, but started off a little bit slower. We saw Fed back in action, which was nice to see, but then he withdrew in Rome. So, I mean, I don't know. I think it's going to be a cool French Open. It's going to be nice. They got that. It's pretty much refurbished now, right? They have Philippe Chatrier is some new seating in it, and they have a new second court, which looks beautiful. Had a couple of my colleagues down there checking out the tennis this week, so it looks really good. So we'll see how it goes. I mean, do you have any overall impressions of how this clay court season has ensued for you and how you've observed it that you want to share before we get started with the women's preview?
Most of it is about Rafael Nadal, you know, hadn't reached a semi, you know, or kept losing in the semis of clay court tournaments. And then, of course, just in the nick of time, he just starts to play his version and brand of dominant tennis leading into the French by winning Rome in very dominant fashion, in such a way that it made you kind of see a little bit of a new version of Nadal, in that, you know, you see the aggressiveness that he's been using on the hard courts and of the last 6 months and more so. And he's not translated to the clay, but he's definitely stepping up and being more aggressive on the clay now, which is interesting to watch. And I think he's found his balance and his formula. So I think it's going to be incredible to watch again with a whole bunch of people that are behind him, chomping at the bit, knowing that he's somewhat vulnerable, and they can beat the greatest champion on a clay court ever. And I think that's you know, pretty much it for me. I mean, in terms of the women, you know, it's a lot of the same, in that we don't have much consistency at the top of the game. Besides, I think Halep is probably the most consistent performer. Mm-hmm. Osaka has definitely dropped off on the clay a little bit, and you know, she's going through her own growth period, even though she is the number one player in the world. You know, you just got these. There's a lot of stories and question marks. And I feel like the last, I don't know, Nima, how many last seven Grand Slams we've spoken about, I think we have that same sort of feel. It's sort of question marks and unknowns.
Yes.
For the women leading into that. You know, with the men, We sort of know the usual cast characters, although the storyline will be interesting. Are we going to get a Tsitsipas, you know, very deep? Are we going to get Team winning his first title? Are we going to get Djokovic, you know, once again standing atop the world? Is Federer going to make some sort of impact? I mean, I think there's a ton of storylines.
Absolutely. It's a lot of good stuff can happen, you know, yeah.
A lot of good stuff can happen, but it's going to unfold, and we're going to try to do our best to predict it all.
Yeah, and I think so. Getting into soccer for a second, for me, this is a very interesting dynamic. Because you have this very young, shy, almost introverted girl who has, just broke out on the tennis scene, won U.S. Open, won Australian Open, beat Serena a couple times. She's got this unique look. Just signed this massive Nike deal. I was reading this article where they're going to give her now her own line and own streetwear line and creative control over what she wears. And this is actually pretty big because Serena doesn't even have that. She doesn't even have a streetwear line. It's like basically like Federer, Sharapova, and it's going to be Osaka now. So my point is that, this is a young girl like in her early 20s who's become a multi-millionaire in the last 5 or 6 months. How does she respond to that pressure? And does she become complacent now? Because she's good. She's good for, I mean, if you manage your money properly, you're good. You don't have to, you're pretty much set for life now. Obviously, you're still gonna have goals and aspirations as a very young tennis player who's won 2 Grand Slams in a row. But now all of this has happened. I believe MasterCard gave her this massive deal. I mean, it's just coming in, man. The checks are coming in quick and heavy, right? So it's like, how do you respond to that? Do you become complacent? Because, I mean, I know somebody like Bouchard, obviously, is not even close to as good or talented, but it was kind of in the same vein. She had that great year in 14, and then, we know what's happened since. We're not going to bash on her or anything, but it hasn't been pretty, to say the least, right? And is the same thing going to happen to Osaka on a different level? Because obviously, this is a player who's won Grand Slams. That said, I mean, I still think it won't happen. She's probably good for at least 5 majors by the end of it all. And we'll see how this all transpires for her. But nevertheless, she comes in as the top seed here. Got a very difficult quarter, Parson. I think from both the men's and women's draws, from what I saw, I mean, let me just read this out quickly here to you. We got Osaka, we got Ostapenko, who's won this tournament before against Azarenka in the second round. She's going to play the winner of those two. We got Sakkari, who's had a great clay season. Caro Garcia, who's a homegrown favorite. She's, going to look to do something. Keys, who made the finals here last year. Serena Williams, former, I believe, 3-time winner. Bianca Andreescu, who comes in with a lot of question marks, but ultra talented and is going to be feeling good. And then we have, I believe, the Madrid winner, Barty, who is, I mean, going to come in, fast and doing some good stuff here too. So there's a lot of good players in this section. And if you're asking me right now, back, I got to make that prediction. I'm going with Barty to make the semis here. What do you have?
Super interesting pick there, Nima. I can see how that can happen. I also look at a lot of, they're a deep section, but also just a very unknown section. You don't know how these, big champions are going to react into these moments. And, for me, I have a hard time picking in this section because I'm not sure what level anyone is at. But, I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to go with Bianca Andreescu
Wow.
as a semifinalist here. And the reason is because I just feel like she's going to be able to just gritty and grind. Now, a lot of it's going to have to depend on this actual surface
Yes.
And how Roland Garros is playing. But I think this is a section, although it's filled with all these great champions, I think it's going to be the one wild card section where you're just not sure what's going to happen. So, as you've got Barty, although we know Barty, and we know Andreescu as well, I'm going to go way out on a limb and go with Andreescu there.
Okay. So with section number two, quarter number two coming up, we have Halep, who is the defending champion. We have Kvitova, who's been playing some good ball. Kazakina is there, hasn't done much. Bouchard is playing her first tournament in a while. I think she's just showing up because from a sponsorship perspective, but she's probably going to bow out right off the bat. We have Sabalenka, Sibulkova, and then my dark horse pick, I believe, as well as yours, Parcel. So let's give that out to everybody. We have Amanda Anisimova, tall, young, American player who's got a very, very promising future on many different accounts. So we wish her all the best, and it's going to be interesting to see how that develops for her. But when I look at this quarter, I don't see as many landmines as I do in the first one for Osaka. And for that reason, I'm going to be going with Halep to make the final four here. I like what I've been seeing from her. I think she's playing with it, even though she's the defending champion. I get this vibe from her that she feels a little bit less pressure, if that's even possible. I don't know how that's possible, but that's just the impression that I get from, you know, looking at her interviews, her practices, and she's always been pretty wound up, you know what I mean? She's puts a lot of pressure on herself, but I think this year she's coming in with a little bit more of a chill vibe, and I think that's going to bode well for her as she goes through this fortnight and, you know, tries to obviously defend her title, and I think that she's got a great chance of doing that. What are you thinking?
Yeah, absolutely, and I couldn't agree with you more. I definitely feel like Halep is the favorite, and I also do have her going through. I do think there are challenges along the way. I think Sabalenka, I think, is going to be a difficulty. Depending on the court speed, Kvitova can do some damage with her newfound composure. You know, Kazakina, you know, definitely. And then, you know, as you do, I have one of my dark horses is Anna Samova. In that she will be, whether it's this one or the next, you know, six Grand Slams, although that's very large, whatever, she's definitely got that edge to her. She definitely has that top player type of feel.
Yes.
And she's definitely motivated, so it's a matter of time. This one's the slowest of all the surfaces, so I feel like that's probably her biggest weakness right now is her physicality,
ability
to be physical. So,
it for sure, yeah.
You know, so you know, maybe she can handle it here.
Okay, moving down to the bottom half, we have Sloane Stephens, who made the finals here last year, and we have Kiki Bertens, who's had a tremendous clay court season, very tough player from the Netherlands, so we definitely got to watch out for her. We have Bencic, who's been playing some good ball, Svitolina, who we are still waiting for that breakthrough in a major, but with that said, I mean, she's coming in, you know, hosting some injuries too, so I don't think it's going to, you know, go that well for her. We have Muguruza, who's a former winner here. So some players, you know, some players that can definitely do some damage and go deep, but I'm going with inform. I mean, for me, with the women, very hard for something to come out of nothing, and I think that you got to go with the inform players, and for me, that's going to be Kiki Bertens making the semifinals. How about yourself? Yeah.
You know, so I have a challenge here again. You know, stacked between the Svitolinas, the Bencics, Bekic, Konta, Bertens herself, Sloane Stephens, Muguruza, defending champion. You know, there is so much here. Not to mention Muguruza, you know, Nima, lightly, because God only knows. You know, we might be talking this time next week in the midterm, and if Muguruza is still around, watch out. Because that's the type of player she is. She can either lose 1-1 first round, or she's going to win the tournament. So it's just all over the place. But I'm going to go with you know, not a wild card, sort of. But I think Sloane Stephens can work her way through this.
For sure.
She's her draw is not as tough as the other draws, and I don't think she's going to have to play great until the third round. And I think she will play great in the third round. So. I'm going to go with Sloane Stephens here, all the way to the semis.
Okay, I like that one. Okay, and then we got the final quarter. Before we move on to the men's, we have Pliskova. Well, obviously, we know won Rome last week. Not a clay quarter at all, but does that really matter at this point? I mean, she's playing exceedingly well. We have Kerber, who doesn't necessarily flourish on this surface. We have Suarez Navarro, who's a veteran who loves clay. We have Wozniacki, who's really fallen off. I mean, Parsa, Wozniacki won the Australian Open last year, and now she's 13 in the world. I know she's got, you know, the arthritis issues and everything that's come about, but nevertheless, her form, has definitely, you know, suffered ever since. We have Merrick. We have some players, I mean, that can do some damage, but not crazy. I think this is the land of opportunity for me in this section. We could definitely have a surprise semifinalist here. But I think if she plays well, if she serves well, and she's a confidence-driven player, I'm going to be going with Pliskova to make the final four here. What do you have?
Yeah, very good. I you know, this is a section that's sort of open, but then scares you.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's like this. You know that Wozniacki is pretty much down and out. She won. I think she's kind of done. I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah.
Pliskova, we're not really sure what's going on there. Kerber. Is Kerber. I mean, she's a class champion, you know, so she could be eating this up because it is a land of opportunity. She may find herself in a semi, although she's probably not the best player in the section or whatever it is. actually for that reason, I'm going to go with Kerber. I think that, you know, that she'll find a way, she'll will herself, she'll be the class player, and I think she's, you know, will find her range and rhythm, at least enough to get to the semis.
Okay. So, Parsa, let's rewind now. I got Barty, Halep, Bertens, Pliskova, and we both have Anisimova as our dark horse. I have Halep defeating Barty in the semis. I have Bertens defeating Pliskova in the semifinals. And then I have Halep defending her title and winning her second straight French Open. How about yourself?
Yeah, I've got Andreescu versus Halep. I mean, and I see something like 7-5 in the third for Halep. Just unbelievable match. I think that's going to be maybe the match of the tournament, if I can predict it, you know, six matches ahead. So Halep into the final there. And on the bottom half, I've got Angelique Kerber and Sloane Stephens. And I think it's going to be some insane type of duel. And I'm going to have Sloane Stephens advancing. And I'm going to have Halep defeating Sloane Stephens in another just barn burner. And I think the second half of this tournament for the women is going to be absolutely exciting and incredible and amazing to watch.
Okay, very, very good, as we both like to say. Moving on to the men's draw now. We have, led by Novak Djokovic, who is coming in, Parsa. A lot of people, this is kind of like a side story for some reason. I don't know why. But he's going for his fourth straight major. And he's got a heck of a good chance of doing it, right? So, I mean, his draw, I think, for me, is very workable. I mean, even though Zverev is in the finals right now in Geneva, up 3-0 in the finals, he has not been playing well at all. I mean, he opens up against Milman. We're talking about Zverev. Kyrgios has withdrawn. Not that he was really going to be a factor on clay. He said that he hates it, and he's even become has more of a detest to the clay, I think, than he ever has. He's in the Bahamas right now, chilling and getting ready for Wimbledon. We have Shapovalov, who's been trying but hasn't really done much, to be honest. Fognini and Chorich, for me, are the two standout players in this quarter that Djokovic really has to worry about. I think everybody else he's going to be able to roll through in a best-of-five-set format. Guys like Delbonis, Batista Agut, even Lajovic, who made the finals of Monte Carlo. I think that not going to be too much of a problem. But Fognini, when he's on, he's proven he can beat everybody. And then Chorich, I mean, he's kind of proving like he's this really good top 15 guy. You know what I mean? Super fit, super professional. He's, you know, he's always in the gym. He's on the practice court. He's a gym rat. But does he have that extra gear to make the semis, finals of a major? I really don't think so. But he's still really, really good to, you know, for an upset and to make maybe the quarters. So I think for that reason, if he can catch Djokovic on an off day, and they would meet in the fourth round, that would be a fourth round encounter, and then Fognini would be a quarterfinal. That would be just an amazing match, I think, for everybody out there. The Parisian crowd would really embrace that one. But, I mean, how can you go against Novak, right? I mean, the guy's just, especially after winning Madrid finals in Rome, even though he lost to Rafa, I mean, he was, you know, spent in that final. I mean, he had Del Potro 3.5 hours, a couple rounds before that, and then semis was very long too. So against Schwartzman, I believe. So he's coming in. He's played enough matches. He's feeling good. This is obviously not, this is his worst Grand Slam, but that doesn't mean that he can't win another one. So for me, for now, I'm going with Novak to reach the semis. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. Novak for me is the man to beat here. There's obviously the lingering, Korch can beat him, but he would have to be off. Fognini can beat him even if he's on, but Fognini would have to get there, so, and that's definitely an uncertainty because he loses to anybody, so.
Yes.
But I think this is a Grand Slam. This is not for anything. I think Novak's getting to the semis here for sure.
Yeah, exactly. So we got quarter number two. We got Dominic Thiem. We got Verdasco, Edmund, good clay quarter. Monfils, who's going to want to obviously pull some magic out here. We have Khachanov, who's had a subpar season. We have, you know, standout player, definitely. We have Felix Auger-Aliassime, who just parsed a loss to Benoit Paire 3-4 in the Lyon final. But he's ranked 28 in the world, still only 18. Plays Jordan Thompson in the first round here, comes in as a 25th seed, Parsa, but after today's final on Monday's rankings, he's going to be around 2021. So, I mean, this is just, and he, I think he leapfrogs his best friend, Denis Shapovalov, which is incredible because we're going to have three guys, Parsa, in the top. I think Milos is about 17, Felix is going to be about 21, 22, and then Denis is 23. So we have three top 23 players in the world right now. So that's very good for Canadian tennis, without a question. So he's going to be somebody to watch for me here. But, I mean, how about team? I mean, he made the finals here last year. Can he go now one step further? He's proven, I mean, he beat Nadal in Barcelona. He's been playing very good. He's you know, the guy is just, he's a serious player. He's got Tommy Paul in the first round. He's just absolutely, I think, going to take him to the woodshed. And then he's got another qualifier, Bublik, in the second round. This doesn't, to me, Parsa, look like a particularly difficult quarter for a team. I mean, Del Potro is an absolute standout player. Can he make it to the quarterfinals? He's got Jerry, who's playing right now against Zverev in the finals of Lyon. So, pardon me, of Geneva. So what can he do? I don't know. I mean, I think for me, if anybody's going to, you know, bother team here, maybe Felix, if he's feeling it, he's young. I mean, he's going to be ready to go even after today's final. Delpo, with that forehand, I mean, he can cause problems for anybody. But and he's made the semis here on a couple of occasions, so look out for him. So I don't know. But I think I got to go with team here. He's put in the work. He knows this tournament very well. Made the semis a couple of years, finals last year. I still don't think he wins it this year, but he's got enough juice to definitely make the semis. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, I it's very hard. That's what I meant by, you know, before we were previewing.
Yes.
You know, how are you going to get away from these class guys advancing to the end? I mean, Del Potro is
for sure. Hundred percent.
Years, everybody, not tomorrow. So this is just the beginning for him. He's got a whole learning curve to do, and his body's got to fill out. He's got to stay healthy, which is, which is always a big thing. And so, for me, these are team's years. I mean, it's this year, the next maybe 3 or 4 years, he's gonna have a chance to win his Grand Slam, and his best chance is gonna be at Roland Garros. And you have to put him in the mix. The only reason I wouldn't put Del Potro through to the semi here is because I feel like he's going to have to log a lot of matches by the time he gets to that team match.
Yes.
And I think team still wins that quarterfinal, so I'm going to have team into the semis.
Okay. And just one final word here on Felix. When I was in USVI, they had Tennis Channel in the office, so I was watching it, and Felix was playing, I think he was playing like Steve Johnson or something, and Jimmy Arias was commentating, I guess, back from the Cali studios for Tennis Channel, and I think he's the director now of IMG, which was subsequently also our title sponsor for the tournaments. But he was saying something interesting, that in December, during the off season, when Felix was down there in Bradenton practicing with all of the players, they asked all the juniors. There's like 50, like 50 ATP guys down there, and some WTA players as well. And you know, they would have all their top juniors playing with, you know, all of the pros just practicing. And Felix was, they asked the juniors after. They said, "Who's the toughest guy you hit with?" I mean, Nishikori was there, a lot of good players, right? And they said Felix had the toughest ball to deal with from everybody that they were facing, which is very interesting. Yeah? You got this 18-year-old kid, really good groundies, and they just said that his ball is so heavy and so deep, and it's always accelerating off of the baseline. So it's, praise after praise for this kid, right? And we've been touting this guy since he was 14, so it's been 4 years in the making right now. And it's just now it's really starting to come together, and he's just taken off this year, and it's going to be, you know, great to see what he can do, like you said, in the next 3 or 4 years. So, Parsa, as we move now to quarter number three, we have a kid who's already right there. He's sixth in the world now, Parsa. Stefanos Tsitsipas, you know, the Greek freak of the tennis version. And, I mean, he's coming in, Parsa. He's got six. I mean, how can you not take this guy to make the semis? maybe just youth. I mean, what else? I mean, you got Wawrinka, for me, who's a top five favorite still to win this tournament, believe it or not. You got Opelka, who's been playing some good. My dark horse. We got Christian Garin, who's won a couple 250s this year already. Dimitrov, for me, really don't like what I'm seeing for him, even though he's adding Agassi and Stepanek. And that serve is a major problem for Grigor. Until he fixes that, I don't think he's really going to do much. And then we got Schwartzman, who I love. I think he's the next David Ferrer, maybe on a smaller scale, doesn't hit as big. But Parsa is a player here that we got to talk about. We got Matteo, I hope I'm saying his name right, Berrettini, who's won some tournaments this year, made some finals. I mean, this Italian kid, I don't know how much you've watched him, but he's a huge guy. He's just smashing his serves. About 6'5". We had, you know, the ITF supervisor that I had in USVI. He was also in Budapest doing the 250 event there, and this guy won that tournament, Berrettini, and he was just saying, "Watch out for this guy. I mean, this is a serious player, and it's just, you know, he's coming in super big." So watch out for him. We have also we got Fed, who's back, hasn't played his tournament in 3 or 4 years, and so it's just, for me, it's like, I don't know. It's, but I think when I'm looking at this as an overall, how can he not take, you know, Tsitsipas to make his first, well, not his first, because he made the semis of Australia as well too. But I like his mentality, and I like what he's doing here. It's still new for him, you know, going deep in all of these events, but he's proven that he's been able to do that. So for that reason, I'm going with Tsitsipas to make my final four. What do you have?
What would you think a Tsitsipas Federer quarterfinal would look like?
Definitely Tsitsipas wins maximum 4 sets.
Really?
Yes. I don't think Fed, I mean, he's coming in, I think, you know, withdrawing from Rome was more of a precautionary measure on his behalf. But, I mean, he's got a tough first round. I don't know how well you know another Italian here. You got Lorenzo Sangio. I'm not sure if I'm saying that name right. I apologize. But he's, he's tough too, man. He's very fiery guy. You know, you got Casper Ruud lurking. I mean, there's like Schwartzman. I mean, these guys have been playing fivers. Like, these guys are ready to go. Feds look good. He's looked surprisingly very good on the clay this spring for me. You know, 37 and some change, going to be 38 in August, but I can't see this guy making it past the fourth round. I mean, this is just an experience at this point. He's not saying, I'm just coming in here just to play and lose, but I can't take him seriously to win this tournament, and I can't take him seriously to even make it to the quarterfinals. So I think that, for me, Tsitsipas, young, strong, playing really well here, for me, he's definitely going to the Final Four. And if he plays Fed, which would be really good, and you know Fed is looking for a revenge in a Grand Slam format, but I would take definitely Stefanos to make to win that match.
And what do you think about Wawrinka's form?
Wawrinka, very good. I mean, this guy knows how to win these tournaments. He's proven that, right? And he's won this tournament. So is he there yet? No, but he's definitely working towards it, and he wants to, you know, become as good. He wants to definitely win another major. I think his goal right now, for me, Stan, is to win another Grand Slam. He's not going to be number one. He said that even after he won the US Open. I remember he was on a talk show and he's like, that's not what I'm looking for. And he just wants to enjoy, play some good tennis, be fit, be healthy, and then win another major. I think if Stan can finish his career with 4 majors, that's, to me, awesome for him. I mean, that's going to put him ahead of Murray. So how do we look at that, right? I mean, I know Murray had, you know, injuries and everything, but, you know, Murray's still playing into his early 30s, and then he was toast. So for me, Stan, if he can get to 4, I might have to put him a little bit ahead of Murray. I mean, I don't know. Well, that's a different discussion for a different day, but, and it's no disrespect to Andy. I mean, he's an amazing player, but, you know, we'll get to that one when we get to it. And then we got the final section. Parsa, we got Rafa Nadal coming in, going for his 12th French Open. Parsa, let's look who's around him before we say anything else. Qualifier, 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 Kudla. And then he's got maybe Goff. I mean, this is going to be, for me, even though this has been a super interesting clay court season for me, for Rafa, but it's been a very maturing clay court season because he came in, right? Hadn't played a lot, withdrew from Miami, lost semis of Monaco, lost semis of Barcelona, lost semis of Madrid, wins Rome. So just in the nick of time, this is a guy who's super seasoned on this surface more than anybody else, is it really that much of an alarm bell that he didn't go through? You know, his birthday is coming up. His 33rd birthday is coming up in a couple, in a week or so. Is it really that important for him to win, you know, his 15th, you know, I'm joking, obviously, but Monte Carlo and Barcelona and all, like, does it really matter at this point? No. So he played a lot. He played four tournaments in a row. He got through all of them. For me, that's a positive. He was obviously coming in off of an injury, so he had to work his way back. He wins Rome. He beats Djokovic. All amazing signs for him. And all signs leading towards his 12th major. But Djokovic, for me, still has that mental edge, especially in the five-setter. But, I mean, how can you not go with Rafa getting through this section? I mean, really, who's going to bother him? Nishikori? Absolutely not. Dinamir, who's not a clay courter. In Medvedev, played some good matches, but I don't think he's got the game on clay on a five-setter. Basilashvili, who hits the heck out of the ball. Gasquet has been injured. I mean, for me, it's Nadal all the way to the finals. Forget about semis, but definitely finals. Semis, what do you have?
I've got Nadal losing first round, Nima. What do you think?
Yeah, that would be the... What's the odd makers on that? You wouldn't, like, put down a dollar, you get $1 million? What is that? That's impossible.
Yeah, I mean, that's impossible. You know, I didn't answer my third quadrant here. You know, Tsitsipas or Federer, I'm so torn. So you're very sure on Tsitsipas. I'm not so sure on Tsitsipas. I think the first four rounds is where he could have his problem. And I think Federer is playing this because he sees opportunity in this draw. I think he probably thinks that these guys aren't that good that are around him and that he's still around. I feel like Federer is playing this because he thinks he has a chance to win it.
100%, that's what he thinks.
Yeah, but he's not going to beat Nadal, so it doesn't matter. I have a huge problem. But because of peer pressure from Nima Nadari, I'm going to go with Tsitsipas. But if I had to pick, you know, my dark horse here, and if I had to get that guy that I thought really could do something, I really, and although he's on the dull side, I'm really looking at Albert Rolas Vinolas.
Wow.
I think, I don't know why, but I just think he could give some sort of issues. And then obviously I've got Rafa Nadal going through. Where's your dark horse, Nima?
It's a good question. I'm going with Christian Garin, Chilean. Won a couple 250s this spring. Very good clay quarter. Watch out for him. He's discovered some really nice young guys coming up that are going to be, you know, you're going to see these guys like top 30. You know what I mean? Like, going to be really good players. Let's give a shout out to Benoit Paire. I mean, Parsa, he won Casablanca and Lyon, albeit two, you know, smaller events, 250s, but he's won two clay court events. He's playing at home. But we never know with Paire, right? He could go nuts in the first round. He's got Copil, and he could just, you know, break all of his rackets and walk off the court.
For two tournaments, he kept his mentality together.
I mean, and let's be honest, man. For Benoit Paire to win two tournaments in the span of a month and a half, for him, is massive. I mean, that's not it. Like, you got to give him credit for that. So, anyways, Jerry is another player. We know his story with losing both of his parents to cancer. I mean, he won Rio. He's an amazing guy. You know, we wish him all the best. Young guy's only 23. He's playing Ramot Vinolas, your boy there. I mean, I would take, you know, Jerry in that match, man. I mean, the guy's, again, five setters. Romas is, you know, Ramos Vinolas has made the quarters here before he beat Milos here a couple years back. So, very, very interesting for me. But, I mean, I got to go with Nadal to, you know, smack aside everybody in this section. I mean, the guy's just, I think he's ready to go. And he's gonna do some good stuff. So Parsa, my final four before we wrap up for this week, I got Djokovic, I got Team, I got Tsitsipas, I got Nadal, I got Djokovic defeating Team in five sets. That for me is a problem for Djokovic, but I got Nadal beating Tsitsipas in a nice four setter. I got Djokovic winning his fourth straight major, and just doing something incredible. And winning his 16th major overall and defeating Nadal in four sets for the championship. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't agree with you, but I feel like that if Team is there in that section, I feel like he's going to beat Djokovic in the semi. And then in the bottom half here, I'm going to have Tsitsipas playing against Nadal, and I think the Nadal's literally going to cakewalk through this thing. I think he's going to lose a grand total of two sets the entire tournament. I think he's going to beat Tsitsipas in four. He's going to go in the final, and he's going to beat Team in four in like a, something a little bit crazier, but like a 7-6, 6-7, 7-6, 6-4, something like that in the final. Rafael Nadal winning and reclaiming and reaffirming that he is indeed the king, the grandmaster, the master of the universe, you know, He-Man type of person for the red clay. So
and
Rafael Nadal.
And if that does take place, which is an amazing, you know, chance for that to take place for Nadal, he will have 18 Grand Slams, which only puts him two behind Federer, which now it becomes very, very interesting because these guys are both towards the end of their careers. We're definitely, I mean, we've been talking about this for so many years, Parsa, but we're definitely getting to the end here for a lot of these great champions. I mean, Fed, I would be surprised if he plays past 2020. I think Sharapova's done at the end of this year. I would be surprised if Serena plays past 2020. Nadal, maybe he's got a couple more years. Djokovic, if he stays healthy, maybe 3-4 more years. Murray's done. Wawrinka, maybe a couple more years. And then it's just all new blood. And then, you know, we're going to be talking about maybe, you know, Felix starts rolling, you know, Andreescu, you know, it's going to be O Canada all over the place. But
Tsitsipas.
You know, then some other kids are going to come out of the woodwork seeing what they're going to do. But we're definitely entering a very interesting time in tennis. But it's nice to see the mix of these young stars coming up because they're definitely there, as well as, you know, the veteran greatest of all time players that we have in the game. So, you know, thanks again, Parsa, for joining us this week. Really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody out there, for listening. Make sure to follow Parsa at ParsaSammy on Instagram and Twitter. You can follow myself at OnMars on Instagram as well as at TennisConnected on all different platforms. You can download this podcast on iTunes, listen to it on our website as well as Android. For those users, Parsa and I will be back soon to look back at the French Open. In the meantime, enjoy all the action from Roland Garros. And we'll